In just a few moments, we're going to share in communion. I don't know what it does to you when you take communion, but for me, it always leaves me with an odd sense of vulnerability. Let me explain. You know what it's like in your home. It's your place. It's your safe place. It's your, well, I hope it's your safe place. It isn't for everybody, of course. But your home is your territory. There's intimate relationships in a home. There's love in a home. And it's something that you share with a certain amount of intimacy, means trust, doesn't it? There's things that go on there that they're your property. They're quite precious. When you invite someone into your home, there is a sense of vulnerability. Most people don't let someone into their home unless they trust them. And there's that great sense of vulnerability when you let someone into what you're actually really thinking, not just at the academic level out there, but when you share with someone like we do here so often in our church, we have our sharing time and someone says, I've had the most amazing experience. And you let people into your heart and mind, there's a vulnerability about that, isn't there? When you open up your heart to a person, to a spouse, there's a great vulnerability in that because you let that person into your life, into what you're thinking and feeling at the deepest level. And it makes you vulnerable. Someone comes into your home, you're vulnerable. If they're safe, then you're safe. But if they're not, they know exactly where your most treasured possessions are. They know the routines. There's a great vulnerability when you open yourself up to a person. From time to time, when I've been going through struggles in my faith and struggles in my life, there are some people that I've trusted with those things, people who've got close enough to know the battles that I have. You've probably done the same. And at those moments, when you let someone into that vulnerable area of your life, there is a great vulnerability in you. And it takes trust. When I take the bread and the wine, the massiveness of that symbol always, excuse me, using a very Australian term, it clobbers me. It does. Because I know that symbolically I'm opening myself to receive Christ into my very being. Not just into my metabolism, but into my mind and my heart. I'm saying, Lord, welcome in. Welcome. I take you to myself. And that is a very vulnerable feeling because in that I'm saying I am willing to allow you to live in me. I'm asking Christ to be a part of my very essence when I take that bread and when I take that cup. Christ broken for me. Christ's life poured out for me, the blood, the symbol of life. St. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, wrote this. He said, I became the church's servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Jenny, you don't know this. I had a little moment on Thursday night when we were washing each other's hands. And you washed my hands and you said, I am your servant in Christ. And suddenly I was hit by the responsibility, but also the vulnerability of that moment of thinking, gosh, what an incredible trust to hold in your hands. But we do that for each other in a way when we share communion, because we together become the body of Christ and we are vulnerable. We are to each other, servants to each other. It was quite a moment. Paul went on to say, I became the church's servant, the commission given to me to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that's been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It ain't Christianity when somebody says, oh, I see Jesus as a good guru, someone to follow. Jesus, to be Christian is to understand that Jesus is a lot more than a good moral teacher. He's more than a picture of God so that we can understand what God is like. He is, and this is at the heart of Christian faith, he is the risen and living Christ, alive in you. We look at the empty cross. I remember once, gosh, more decades ago now than I care to think about, my lecturer saying to me, well, if Jesus is risen, you know, what's happened to the molecules of his body? They've got to be somewhere floating around in space in some form or other. Where is he? But no, he's not a bunch of molecules floating around somewhere in space in some other form. But he's in you who are looking at the cross. That's where the risen and living Christ is. In you who, in a statement of incredible faith and vulnerability, take him into yourselves, Christ alive in you. When you take the bread and you eat it and you ingest it, you take the cup and it is a part of you, the wine is a part of you. This symbol of communion, this statement of faith, this prophetic statement of trust, the living Christ proclaimed, Paul says, until he comes, when you take this. And again, Paul isn't just talking about us making a statement of faith out there somewhere. It's making a statement of faith right in here, right inside. So I'd invite you with me as we come to communion. Valerie, could we have the words up, please? We come to worship the living image of God. Christ is alive. We come to worship the one who is God with us. Christ is alive. We come to worship the one who has conquered death and sin for us. Christ is alive. We come to worship our risen and our living Lord. Christ is alive. Amen.